Hey, you're listening to and watching the Alter Perform Show, the show about performing your best in business and life. We had a little time issue here. We're starting, by the way.
Yes, we are. Okay,
it's
next.
Supposed to be in a few minutes, but it's like live now. We're also live on Facebook Live. Jason, where are we right now today?
We're on the Fremont East area in downtown Las Vegas at the Desert Moon Motel.
Awesome. Now, you've had quite – we're here to talk about your experience in getting this motel, making it profitable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to share a lot of stuff in this half hour, but tell us on, like, why did you say, I want to buy a motel?
That's something
we haven't talked about.
Yeah. Yet. So I've been involved in real estate, as a real estate broker doing property management, and part of what I did was short-term rentals. So my parents also operated an Airbnb that I helped them out with, and my interest in property management ended up bringing me over to this side of town, looking at these motels as something that I could possibly expand into that seemed like a natural fit for me. So so that's basically how I got into the motel side of the business.
Great. But you also have a capital company, Capital Investments.
Yeah, so Proximity Capital is my company. We're a real estate brokerage, but we also do investments into different types of projects. So we're a partner on another project that's over by the Stratosphere. We continue to make investments into the Las Vegas and downtown area markets.
Good. That's great. So you saw this motel, and were you in the business looking to purchase a motel in this area?
No. So what actually happened was there was another agent who had this property listed, and they were trying to sell it, and they were having a hard time trying to sell it. And then so I was one of the buyers that was looking at purchasing it, and one of my clients as well. And so what happened is right about when we were looking at it, the listing expired with the other agent, and the seller kind of took to me. He realized that I had a lot of knowledge about the this local area market, and he reached out to me to list the property for him. So I started off this venture as the listing agent for this property.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. So yeah. You were in real estate before also.
Yeah, I'm still in real estate. I'm a real estate broker, property manager, and a permitted business broker.
Well, would you say permanent?
Business broker.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So you sell businesses?
Yeah.
Also?
Yeah. So if anybody's involved in commercial real estate, if you're selling anything except for just land, a lot of the times it has a business attached to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of agents don't know that you really need a business broker permit to be able to sell a product. So I went and I got my business broker permit about 4 years ago.
Okay. Good. Just ignore that timer. That timer is going to keep going off because it's confused. We'll see if it works out.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
We're about to start over again.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's fun.
But we're live on Facebook, so that's good.
How's it going, everybody?
So,
for nobody.
Well, there's always
people coming on.
Watching.
Yeah,
it doesn't always show on it. But,
nice.
So, you started. You found this, the listing just expired, so you got this. And how long has it been? It hasn't been that long, right?
No, I purchased it in August 2018,
mm-hmm.
So we closed at the end of August.
Last year,
okay. Yeah. I first stumbled across this property about October of 2017,
mm-hmm.
And then I listed the property for sale in I think it was in about like January, maybe December, January, attempted to sell it. We actually had it in contract with another buyer, which brings up the whole other side of why it's so challenging to get these motels. But I had it in contract. It was supposed to close for $2 million, and there was a bank that was supposed to finance it. And the bank came through 7-8 days before closing, and they saw the XXX signs, and they said, we're not financing that. We don't do anything that has adult movies. And that was it. So the deal fell out of escrow, and I spent another 6 months trying to sell the property, and everybody that was trying to buy it was trying to use some form of financing, and the adult triple X movies,
which isn't usually the case, even if they, I mean, how much was it?
It was $1.75 million.
So $1.75 million, most people are going to finance it. Even a big company will finance it, right?
Yeah.
They don't usually do a cash purchase for something like this, do they?
Well, I mean, I have a lot of clients that are they're capital rich, so for them, you know, buying a property like this is not a problem to pay cash for it. But the general public, you know, they don't have money to do it. We had a lot of people that were really curious about it. There's a whole bunch of people out there that are interested in operating motels. So a lot of people in the Indian community buy hotels and motels. That's a big part of their, you know, their culture. And there's a lot of people that just find it fun to do the hospitality business, whether it's a bed and breakfast or they just want to own a motel. There's just something cool and fun about it that really attracted a lot of people who were advertising it.
I see. So, but you ended up buying
it. I ended up buying it.
Now, I want to ask you a question because you brought it up earlier. You said adult, if it's, they saw the adult signs and they were out.
Yeah.
So why did that stop them? I mean, so what? We're in Vegas. They do all sorts of adult things here.
Yeah.
It's like an adult town. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah.
Tagline by the city itself. So
yeah.
Why such a big deal about financing it?
It's a bank thing. So banks really hold their reputation to be one of their assets. So, you know, if you have a bank and it's got a bad reputation, you don't want to do business with it. I think that affects them. So they have... Banks have investors that they have to report back to. They have to stick to a certain plan. So a lot of those banks have it written into their back-end documentation that, you know, these types of investment that advertises adult entertainment, adult business, any kind of asset that advertises that and it's part of their business, their core business, they're not going to be able to finance. So it just basically kicks it out of their guidelines. Now, you can get an exception, obviously, with banks. You know, they do exceptions for certain things. But for the most part, 99% of the time, the banks aren't going to do an exception. We were talking about it earlier, but one of the exceptions might be you get a place like the MGM property, MGM Signature, or the Wynn Hotel, and they offer adult movies in their rooms.
Yeah.
They don't advertise it. They don't put it all over the place, but they do offer adult movies in their rooms. That might be something that comes up in underwriting for a bank where they're like, okay, now, we'll allow this because it's, you know, this is normal. You know,
because that would be an exception. But advertising it isn't normal.
Yeah, advertising it and promoting that you're in a motel that offers free adult triple X movies, it's not, you know, not good with the banks.
Mm.
And one thing I do want to throw out there, because I realize we're talking to a lot of entrepreneurs and people that might actually be interested in buying a motel. If you're going to buy a motel and it's your first motel that you're buying, you should make it, I mean, as part of your deal that you need to ask for owner financing. You know, if you want to go buy a motel, it's your first motel you've ever purchased, and you're going around there trying to find a motel to buy, work a deal, and that deal doesn't have owner financing in it, you know, it's going to be almost impossible for you to close on that unless you're putting up all cash. So one of the biggest tips that I can give people is that you need to structure owner financing, owner carry. And if the owners of these motels are not willing to do an owner carry, then you're not going to be able to buy the property. So you might as well get that out there in the beginning. If you're working with a broker, let that broker know, you know, I'm looking for a deal where the owner's going to carry.
Carry some of it or all of it or 50%, 30%? What's the range?
As much as possible. So standard in this industry is going to range anywhere between, the owner will carry anywhere between like 50 to as much as 80%. And if they're going to carry more, so if they're going to carry like 80%, they're going to be looking for somebody to have some experience. They're going to be looking for a strong person that's borrowing. So that's a big thing, you know, when you're going out there, that's a hurdle you're going to be up against is if you do want owner financing, get your ducks in a row because you're going to have to sell yourself to the seller and be like, I am worthy of getting an owner carry. I'll pay you back your loan. I'm going to do a good job of operating your property. If the seller doesn't feel like you're going to do a good job of operating the property, they're not going to do the carry either. So,
interesting. So, but it's common. So it's a commonplace for them to carry.
It is very common. And I can tell you right now that...
And we mean carry a portion of the sale price.
Yeah.
And the loan compared to the bank maybe doing 20%, or you putting 20% down or whatever the balance is, 50
yeah.
to 80%, whatever range you're going to cover of that. Do they care how much you're putting down in capital and how much the bank is financing? Do they be concerned about the payments back to them or anything because it might be too high or something?
The owner that's carrying is going to be concerned with, you know, the ability to pay back and your experience and operational history. The loan that you want to get when you buy a motel, if you qualify for it, it's an SBA loan. There's two types of SBA loans that you can get. And if you qualify for them, then you get interest rates that are prime plus like 2.5%. You're going to get a long term, so 20-25 years to pay off the loan. And those are really the loans that you strive to get. Now, one of the things that I learned after I purchased this motel, but I was able to...
Sorry. The director forgot to silence his phone, but he can't do it right now.
Yeah. So if you buy a motel, and this is really important if you're looking to buy one, so make sure you just write this down in your notes. If you buy a motel, you cannot refinance into an SBA loan for 2 years if it was an owner carry. So if you buy them and you use owner carry, 2 years have to go by before you can refinance it. So when you structure your deal, don't ask for 2 years owner carry. I did, but I had to go fix it later, and I had to get I requested an extension.
2 years. Now, just to be clear, you're talking about 2 years from the SBA or 2 years from the owner carry?
2 years from when you close. The if you're going to go to a bank and you want to get an SBA loan, they won't be able to approve you for your SBA loan until you've owned that property for 2 years if you had an owner carry. So, and then also a lot of other banks, they won't allow you to use the appraised value for 2 years after you purchase it. So they're going to want to use your purchase price. So, when can that become an issue? Okay, you buy it and your goal is to refinance into an SBA loan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you ask for a 2 year owner carry, your feet are on the fire to refinance that at 2 years. I mean, you're literally giving yourself like, you need to close that day. And there's no room for wiggle room. So if you're going to ask for an owner carry, you really should be asking for 3 years. Or if the owner's only willing to give you 2 years, then you need to ask for 2 years with some ability to extend. And if there's a fee or something that's involved with extension, then that's fine, but you need to have that there. Don't ask for a 2 year owner carry if your game plan is to refinance into an SBA loan. Because it's not going to work out.
Okay.
And I can tell you that because I know. I had to extend my owner carry by 6 months to protect myself. Because I didn't want to, if anything went wrong and for some reason they couldn't fund the loan the day that we're closing, or the day that the 2 years ended up, that it would have been an issue.
So are you, so you got owner carry and then you're getting SBA loan at the end of the 2 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. That's a cool truth.
And another thing too about the SBA loan.
Why are you so open about how all the details are? Because you said you want other people to know how to do this. Why? Why do you care?
Well, if we
had time, I would have prepped you and
asked
questions and stuff, but I don't mean that in a rude way. I just mean like most people don't want to share that information.
Well, I mean, part of my business that I'm in, being a realtor and a broker and having been involved in this business, I'm constantly sharing information. My clients come to me to ask me, how do we do this? How do we do that? Or they ask me for advice. And so I like contributing. I like seeing people grow. So I'm going to be more open than other people. My mindset is a mindset of abundance, not a mindset of scarcity. And if people that don't want to share their mindset as scarcity, that's like, if you do good, I'm not going to do as good. And I believe that we can all do good, so.
And there's thousands of motels that they can go purchase.
Yeah, and there's tons of opportunity. I was mentioning the market down here. You got the downtown market, and as you drive down Fremont Street, you see all these closed motels. And one of the reasons that a lot of the motels were closed because Tony Hsieh bought pretty much everything up until 15th Street. So all that's owned by Tony Hsieh.
He's the guy, Zappos. That guy from Zappos.
Yeah, the Zappos guy.
He's also the guy that did the, because some people won't know, and I've been seeing pictures now, I notice it.
Mm-hmm.
The semi trucks all twisted around.
Yeah.
The one you took a picture of. People take pictures by that now.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's one of the reasons why he does it.
Yep.
But he's that guy.
Yeah, he integrates a lot of Burning Man art into the downtown area. So as you drive around, you'll see all kinds of stuff that looks like it belongs at Burning Man, and that's because it was at Burning Man, and they got the praying mantis that shoots fire.
Oh, it's here? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
That's right at Container Park. So those are kind of, you know, they're cool things. The Ferguson Motel is no longer going to be a motel, but what it is in the back part, they have a tiny home park, and then in the front part, they've created this, out of the motel rooms, like this commercial boutique-type shopping experience with entertainment in the middle where they've got a stage. It looks kind of like something that you'd see at like a college campground at like a university or something in California. They got like a lot of grass and concrete. And then it's got this big big truck that sticks up that twists around out of the middle out of Burning Man.
Yeah, the one we're just talking about, right?
Amazing sound system.
That's great.
Cool.
Yeah, that's great. Sorry, guys. I didn't realize how I can do this real quick. There we go.
So,
that's the problem with live.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. Yeah, you're getting the real deal.
Things happen.
Yeah, as you pass 15th Street, then you enter into this section where we're at. We've got some extended stay motels. They're owned by like the big guys. You got Siegel Suites, and then there's another big one across the street that's also owned by a big investor. And the Economy Motel is right in a couple buildings away from us. Then you got the Desert Moon Motel, and then you kind of have a break where there's not any motels until you cross the next street over, and that's where a lot of the opportunity lies. You've got
the next street over.
Yeah, you got a couple properties that are you know, potentially could be purchased. So you got like the Safari Motel. There's another Town and Country Motel. So there's even
they're empty or being used, or
the Safari is completely empty. It's got a lot of roof damage. It needs a lot of work, but it's got a really nice lot. At least have a pool there. That one's 23 units, so I think.
Well, let me interrupt you just to make sure I have enough time.
Yeah.
Two things I want to make sure we cover. Besides, why are you successful? Why would someone want to own a motel? Because you said it.
Yeah.
There's people out there that want to own a motel, and there's the struggle with the capital financing and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people out there that want to own one. Why does someone want to own one? I mean, that's one thing, and I, you know, we came by here, you know, a few minutes ago, and I saw how hard you were working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're on top of it, probably more than most people. You're helping someone with a flat tire.
Yeah.
So why would someone want to own a motel? I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but there's obviously reasons for it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of opportunity in owning a motel. It's a very rewarding business, and you get to deal with a lot of people. There's a lot of opportunity to create rapid change. And so for that part, you know, I really like it. And I think a lot of other people are attracted to that. There's what I would call like a great opportunity in the motel business, because it's a business that not a lot of people know about. Not a lot of people understand it. Not a lot of people have a lot of business in it. But that, you know, anytime you have something where there's a higher barrier to entry, where there's people aren't as educated, it creates a lot more opportunity. So just to give you a real quick example.
Give us an example.
So when I bought the Desert Moon Motel, the owner was doing everything on a spreadsheet. It was like handwritten. You know, here's the guest's name.
It was a handwritten spreadsheet.
Yeah, it was.
So it wasn't an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
David, if you're watching this, and Elizabeth, my two friends there, like, if you make plans, they want to make a spreadsheet of it.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to a movie, they make a spreadsheet of it.
Oh,
but not electric. I know. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
I know. You're saying a handwritten accounting, old school spreadsheet.
Absolutely. Yeah. They call them the daily reports, the daily log. So that was what I came into was, and this is one thing I saw, is like there's a huge opportunity here to integrate this motel with an online management system for motels,
mm-hmm.
and then integrate with Expedia, with Booking.com, Airbnb.
Correct me if I'm wrong, we talked about something, about a room, and you looked at your phone about it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Just
a text, it was something about the motel, right?
Yeah, so I have the whole motel in the palm of my hand, which is kind of a cool cool thing to have. So basically, there's a software called CloudBeds, and CloudBeds is by far one of the best programs out there.
Hey, look at the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
On his phone, yeah.
But yeah, that'll give you guys an idea. That's what I'm looking at when I'm running the motel. So I can see, you know, our occupancy, and I can see how many rooms we have available, how long guests have been there. We can upload their documents.
You can make a sale from the touch of your button, too?
Yep.
Touch of your finger?
We have a link on our website where people can click and they can reserve their room. We've also taken advantage of some kind of non-traditional marketing. It's good stuff.
I love that stuff. We're kind of doing some of it right now.
Yeah. So we use Yelp. Not a lot of hotels use Yelp. So we had the old profile shut down for the motel that they were previously using.
Yeah, you'd have to, considering everything you've said.
Yeah.
About, you know.
Yeah. And so we had that to shut down. We put up a new profile. We started motivating the management here to drive people to Yelp to post reviews, and also to Google. But they're posting the reviews. We started buying advertising on Yelp, and to this day, I mean, we get quite a bit of business through Yelp. So
that's good. Well, I've seen you, like, he's been very active social media. I've seen him post everything. I've seen him post your gross income.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you post the Yelp reviews. I've seen you consistently talking about it. Does that help you, or why are you doing it?
I do it to share with people. You know, one thing that's funny is when I bought this motel, I took so many investors here and showed it to them, and they're like, nope, not interested, not going to do it. You know, I don't like the area. You're never going to be able to charge that much money for the rooms. I was met with a lot of no's when I got it. And so I know that some brokers around my website that had brought clients here. I know a lot of people that know me that I personally talked to about when I was trying to raise capital to make the purchase. And by publishing all that information out there, you know, it lets people know, like, hey, you know, I was right. This is a great opportunity, and you can really do something with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it may, hopefully, I would like for it to make people think, like, okay, you know, let me open up my mind and let me think differently. Let me look at these opportunities differently. So some of those might be like clients of mine that might say, oh, okay, I didn't believe you before, but now I see you're doing so well. So now I'd like to buy one. Or, you know, we might get some more investors that decide that they want to put some more capital in. So, you know, when we buy our next motel, we might have investors that are like, you know, let me know when you're doing your next deal.
Yeah, success story. Yeah,
because I want to be part of it.
This is what I'm doing. This is my success in less than a year. That's why I was making such a point of when did you buy it. I know you bought it last year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I knew he bought it last year because I remember it. But at the same time, he's had such extreme success. I wasn't sure if I was remembering it right. Maybe it was 2 years ago because I do that. Like, it was just yesterday. And that was last month. You know, I'll be off on the timeline. But you had tremendous success for a small business.
Yeah,
especially a brick and mortar that it's not a retail place, but it's a physical place where you've had all these costs.
Yeah.
You've been remodeling room after room.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what that's been like.
Well, we've been going through the property.
It's more modern. I can see that. You must be changing it out so it's a modern look.
Yeah, we're doing we're using vinyl plank floors, which are great. They're very good for being able to clean. We're doing more modern fixtures. I'll tell you, the biggest challenge that we faced was actually taking these small kitchen areas and turning them into a functional kitchen. So one of the things that we did, which to me was a great accomplishment, and usually I don't like pat myself on the back for like doing things or whatever. I'm just like, I just do it and, you know, I enjoy it. But
good job.
We took a 53.5-inch space, which is like a kitchen space, and we were able to fit a refrigerator, two cabinets, a two-burner cooktop, and a sink all into this 53-inch space. And when I was actually buying the cabinetry and I was sharing the design with the lady at IKEA, she's like, there's no way this is going to work, and your cabinets are going to hit the walls. It's gonna, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I'm like, I'm doing it. So so we ended up, we did that. And that's one of the big things that our guests really enjoy, is they like having a fully functional kitchen space.
So I hear a recurring theme with you is that people keep saying no to you. Mm-hmm. And you keep saying, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, let's do it anyway.
Yeah.
Have you always been like that? And do you ever let that get you down and stop you? Because you're talking about naysayers, and I talk in videos and shows and everything. I'm always talking about naysayers, mm-hmm. and they're all around you. Even your best friends will sometimes do it, and they don't even know they're doing it.
I've always been like that. I've actually gotten better at it as time's gone by. Seems like the more times I get told no, the less it means to me. So. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, a lot of people let their dreams and their visions get shot down by their mind first. So they're like, oh, you know, I've got this great idea, and then all of a sudden, like, their mind's telling them, like, you know, oh, it's gonna be a lot of work, or no, you can't do it, or you know, maybe I shouldn't do that because I don't even belong there, and that. I don't deserve to be successful.
There's
it's
so
crazy.
Many reasons. I'm too tall. Yeah. I'm too weak. I'm too short. I'm too skinny, I'm too fat, you know, all those things. I'm too dumb, I'm too smart.
What is it? I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the resources. Mm-hmm. Tony Robbins on me said that.
Money, resources.
Yeah, those are the time, money, and resources. If you're telling yourself that, you know, that's what everybody tells themselves. Mm-hmm. So those are the three most common things that you're ever going to have for your own personal objections in your head. Those are not objections from other people, those come from you. So, you know, if you don't have the time, you don't have the money, you don't have the resources, if that's why you're not doing something, you're sabotaging yourself. Now, if other people are telling you you can't do it, you're just not going to be able to make it happen. Like, why are you even bothering? Like, those are external things, you know, and they don't mean anything. So,
well, why would you say that you're able to get past them? A lot of people don't. I mean,
yeah.
I do and I don't. You know, there's times I do, there's times I don't.
Yeah.
I'd say the more wisdom, more experience I have and stepping through it, I just see it as like, oh, okay, maybe next week, or oh, okay, I go through, you know, if it's a no for a sale or something, keep trying. But there's sometimes, even for myself, mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty, I've got a good ability in going through the no's.
Mm-hmm.
What has brought you to this that you are willing and able to do that? Like, what would you share? Really, what would you share with people? How do you get through that? So they can get through it.
So one of the things that I'm a big follower of Tony Robbins, so I always kind of like go back to some of the stuff that he says. But and you know, Tony Robbins will ask someone like, you know, what do you want to do with your life? Where do you want to go? And then they'll say, I want to do this, and they'll be passionate about it. And then be like, well, why haven't you done it? And then obviously then comes the list. I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the resources. And so he often asks people, okay, I understand you can't do it, but if you could, you know, what would you do to get there? Like, if you could, what would the steps be that you would take to get to where you want to be? And I think that you need to ask yourself, like, okay, if I want to get to this point, if I want to do something, what are some steps that I could take to get me there that could get me closer to it? So that you can start working to getting towards there or to achieving or to doing whatever you want. But if you don't take any steps, you need massive action. If you don't take any action at all, it's never going to happen. You know. So the best thing you can do is just take that first step towards doing whatever you want to do and, you know, make a list. If I want this to happen, what am I going to have to do? You know, what things can I do to help make this happen? It might be picking up the phone and calling people. It might be making another list, which is, you know, who are five people that I know that I could call that, you know, could help me achieve this. But it's going to be different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing is that you're just taking progress. It's constant, never-ending improvement, you know, working towards your goals and going in the right direction.
Yeah. I look at it as like, okay, I'm here. If I'm wherever I'm at, that's okay now. Like, I'm okay with where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And not look at the past. I mean, I do sometimes, so I should be farther along. I should do this. I should have, you know, better this, better that. But if you keep refocusing, I feel, if you keep refocusing yourself, say, okay, that's great. Shh. You know, but this is where I'm going. And you keep retraining yourself to take those steps. It's easier and easier to get to take those steps.
Yeah. that's kind of the funny thing. If you're wanting to lose weight, like, you know, your list isn't going to be like, okay, I want to lose weight, I'm going to go eat a pizza today. You know, but you might be doing certain things that are not in line with your goals when you start writing them down, you know, and analyzing them. You start looking and going, okay, well, you know, if I want to lose weight today, maybe I should go run for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And maybe that 5 minutes or 10 minutes will be 20 minutes the next, you know, day or next week. And then, you know, surely enough, you get it to where it's a routine and it's in your schedule and then you're doing that. So, you know, it's important to figure out what it is that's going to get you to where you want to go. Take some action towards it.
Yeah. Start where you're at and work your way up. That's what I always say. So in closing, what would you say are like your top three things that you've been doing to have your success?
Focus, you know. But I think we're all guilty of getting too spread out and too spread thin. So pick something and focus on it would be, you know, number one. Because if you don't focus on it, then you're going to get diluted, you know, as a person or a brand or, you know, whatever it is. So kind of funny example is like you meet some realtors and it's like, what do you do? I'm a realtor. I sell real estate. I sell houses, condos, land, commercial real estate. Like, I'll be like, I'll sell you anything that's real estate. You know, that's not a very directed approach to the business. So, you know, if you're a real estate agent, you know, find something. There's so many things to sell. You know, pick something that you want to be good at and focus on it and study it and learn it and become good at it. And that example is not just for real estate, it's for everything, you know. There's so much business in one little, you know, one little section that you can focus on. There's no need to do everything. And the minute you start doing everything as a human being, you start diluting your value to people. So that's
so focus number one.
Yeah, focus, definitely focus on what, you know, where you're going and what your goals are going to be. The second thing is think outside of the box. So I've always been that person who, you know, looks at things from every angle and comes up with ways to do things that that maybe other people haven't. And so when I bought this motel, you know, I thought outside the box, and I didn't have the luxury of reading an article or watching a video of somebody telling me how to purchase a motel. I had to go figure it out myself. So thinking outside the box could be listening to, you know, a radio show like this, and you know, you're listening to someone who's a progressive thinker, and now they're interviewing someone who's a progressive thinker.
What show? You're talking about the Ultra Perform show.
So, you know, you got you're listening to somebody who's thought outside the box, and then hopefully that makes you, you know, think outside the box. So maybe you're not buying a motel, but maybe you're buying something else, and you might start to think, well, I only looked at bank options to finance what I'm doing. What if I looked at all the other options that are available, and they might work for you? So
number two would be?
Number two is thinking outside the box.
Thinking outside the box. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Being a little bit different. That, a lot of the opportunities are where other people haven't traveled. So.
And number three? There could be more. But
number three is you got to perform. You know, people are only going to listen to your promises for so long. If you don't deliver, then it dilutes your value, you know, as a business person. So, you know, if you're going to dream big and you're going to think big, then you need to take massive action. So that's something that's, you know, it's really important. And if you don't take massive action and produce and perform, then you're going to have challenges. You know, you're not going to get to where you want to be.
And there you go. So we have, let's see, three most important things: focus, think outside the box, and you call it performance.
Yes.
Perform on those things.
Yes.
You can't just do those things. Oh, I'm thinking out of the box. I'm focusing. But I'm going to watch these. I'm going to do the Marvel Marathon at AMC or something, you know.
Yeah. I went to go do the
Rock. Walking Dead for the next 3 days.
I went to go do the Rock and Roll Marathon this past year. And it's funny because we're getting closer and closer to the marathon. And I'm like, okay, I need to train more. I need to train more. And funny enough, it was one of the few things in my life that I didn't train enough for. And I ended up failing and not, you know, not finishing it. So I did like 24 out of the 26 miles. I just pooped out at the end.
It's called, so it's a marathon. It's an actual marathon.
Yeah.
that what they call it, rock and roll?
Rock and roll
gear, or just they call it that?
You can wear whatever you want. Some people dress as Elvis, some people dress as whatever.
Leather pants?
Yeah.
26 miles?
Yeah. But I had done it three times, the half marathon. So I did 13.1 miles. And I was good through 13.1 miles. I mean, I actually had my best time running through that. I didn't finish the 26 miles. And, you know, I had the dream, the vision, but I didn't prepare for it. I didn't train properly, but I didn't perform. So I wasn't able to finish it, and I'm going to try again.
Great. Well, thank you very much for being on the show, Jason. Really appreciate it. We are here live in sunny Las Vegas at the Desert Moon Motel.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, if you want to check out the motel, it's desertmoonmotel.net. So you can see the rooms that we've renovated online, and it gives you some information on the property. And, feel free to call us anytime. Oh, and if you're watching the show and you decide you want to come to Las Vegas, you want to visit our motel, mention the show, and I'll give you one night. I'll give you 50% off one night. So.
Whoa, 50% off. That's awesome.
Just for people watching the show. So.
Great. Great. I guess I have to watch the show so I can get 50% off.
Right.
So you guys listen and watch for the Ultra Perform Show. You can find us on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and many other places. Facebook Live, Instagram Live. Keep your eyes and ears out for our show, usually at 5 o'clock on weekdays. We're having a special show today, and we will come out to you anywhere in the nation and maybe even the world. You also keep your eyes and ears out for our product, Ultra Perform product, called Accelerator. You can find it at ultraperform.com. It'll give you lots of energy, help you lose weight, and take care of that massive action. See you guys later. See ya. Cool. I'm here too. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.